how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. In this gospel we just heard from Luke 21, we hear what's often referred to by scripture scholars as the eschatological discourse. And eschatological, related to the word eschatology, just means of the last things. So whenever you hear that word eschatology, that's the study of the last things. That's an actual study in Catholic doctrine. And it's a very important topic because, in fact, we need to keep our ends in mind if we want to get there. But even though we could talk about the four last ends, we talked about that last week. So I want to just look a little bit more on judgment today. This is all in the context of God's unconditional love, his desire to save us, his desire to draw us close to himself so that we can have the joy and the peace of union with him now and forever. But the Lord has given us a gift so powerful, it's almost dangerous. It's the gift of free will. Free will is so powerful that a person can use it to say no to God. It's actually quite tragic. Because a person, of course, made to say yes to God like Mary, could say no by means of even one mortal sin that they don't repent of before they die, with sincere contrition and sorrow and a need to go to confession if they can. So when we think of this, we might be puzzled by the words of the psalm today, because it talks about the Lord is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. And it says this, "Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice." We should actually have a holy anticipation of that moment. Not this kind of excessive fear. There is a holy fear of God, which is just a reverence for the infinite majesty, the glory, the splendor, the magnificence of the Almighty. We should have a holy awe, a holy reverence. This is why we have reverence at the sacred liturgy, because we are worshiping the thrice holy God. So we might not quite be so quick sometimes to say things like, when the judgment is mentioned, "Let the earth rejoice." But when we think about it, God's judgment is for good, to set things right, and to ultimately, definitively unite us with him. And so, in the first reading, there's this judgment. The Son of Man, Jesus, takes his sickle across the earth, harvest those who are to come to him. Then afterwards, another angel, not Jesus, another angel, goes with a sickle too and collects all those to be tread in the winepress of God in his wrath. If we say no to God, we reject his salvation. We reject the merits of Christ offered on the cross for us, which basically we're saying, "I don't want to be saved." That's the power of free will. But we should continue, therefore, to be ready, which is to be holy, to be holy and close to the God who loves us, who tells us not to be afraid, who tells us he is with us to the end of the age, who tells us that he cares more about us because he knows what we need before we ask. So when we think of these themes, let us both strive for great holiness, be aware, but also be at peace, knowing that our Lord Jesus loves us, he died for us on the cross, and if we choose to follow him as best we can, we will indeed follow him just like St. Andrew Dunlop and his companions all the way to paradise.